The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider in an unusual edition. I had planned on the interview segment being the entire show this week, thus no news or Q&A, but there was late-breaking news Friday about two decrees from the Apostolic Penitentiary, the Vatican tribunal that deals with, among other things, indulgences and the sacrament of confession. The Apostolic Penitentiary has granted a plenary indulgence for people with COVID-19 and for those who care for them, including medical staff and family members, and for those who pray for them. A plenary indulgence is granted to Catholics who, infected with the coronavirus and quarantined at home or the hospital by order of health officials, participate spiritually in a devotion such as the Rosary or the Way of the Cross. The faithful must also fulfill the ordinary conditions of an indulgence, which are sacramental confession, reception of the Eucharist, and prayer for the intentions of the Holy Father, by having the will to satisfy the intentions as soon as possible. Other devotions that may grant the indulgence in these exceptional circumstances are participation in Mass through the Internet, the recitation of the Creed, the Our Father, and a, quote, pious invocation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, offering this trial in a spirit of faith in God and charity towards their brothers and sisters, end quote. In another decree regarding the sacrament of confession, the Apostolic Penitentiary ruled that, in view of the difficulty in priests hearing confessions during the coronavirus pandemic, bishops can offer general absolution in cases of, quote, grave necessity. The decree notes that general absolution is usually only permitted in accordance with Canon 961, when there is, quote, imminent danger of death, since there is not enough time to hear the confessions of individual penitents, or, quote, there is a grave necessity, end quote. Importantly, quote, this apostolic penitentiary believes that, especially in the places most affected by the pandemic contagion and until the phenomenon recedes, cases of grave necessity mentioned in Canon 961 will occur. Regarding individual confession, the decree says that, quote, in the present pandemic emergency, it is up to the diocesan bishop to indicate to priests and penitents the prudent cautions to be adopted in the individual celebration of sacramental reconciliation, such as the celebration in a ventilated place outside the confessional, the adoption of a suitable distance, the use of protective masks, without prejudice to absolute attention to the safeguarding of the sacramental seal and necessary discretion. To read the decrees in full, go to my blog, Joan's Rome. And now, stay here for the interview segment, where I talk about life under quarantine in Italy because of the coronavirus. I think you'll be amazed.
Listeners to Catholic radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
As a Catholic talk show host and speaker and author, I'm often asked, how should we pray? How do we pray? Really? It's up to you, and that's between you and the Lord. We have wonderful, wonderful formalized prayers in the Catholic faith, such as a rosary, the Lord's Prayer, novenas, but you can also just open up your heart and say, Lord, help, SOS. It's as simple as that. How you pray is really up to you. Ask the Lord how you should pray, and He'll answer you.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider. Because the world has been upside down for a short while now, many things in the world are and will be different. And so this week, I'm going to talk about the only story the entire world is talking about, the coronavirus crisis. How it struck Italy, what led to our being quarantined, how Italians, doctors, nurses, citizens, and the government are handling things, and much, much more. This is my story because I'm in quarantine, and you'll discover what that means. But I am only one of millions, and we are all literally in the same boat. Just 10 days ago, I was packing my suitcase for what I hoped would be a very fruitful but brief stay in the U.S. I knew it would be a happy one because I'd be in New York and have a ton of friends there, but also because my main thrust was being with friends at the Holy See Mission to the United Nations, starting with Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, nuncio and permanent observer to the UN. I was to have given a speech at the UN on March 12th, but that event was canceled. My New York friends asked me to come anyway. Things were iffy but not drastic when I said, yes, I'll come. I wrote 3 columns for my blog, Joan's Rome, in the 48 hours I was on the ground, one on March 10th after my arrival and a second on the 11th, so that you'd know of my comings and goings, as well as Vatican news. On the 12th, I wrote a 3rd and very brief entry on my Twitter and Facebook accounts. Thanks to the confluence of 3 Facebook friends, today I am on the last United flight to Rome, arriving tomorrow a.m., Fiumicino Airport to close Monday. More tomorrow. You see, when I awoke on Wednesday the 11th, I learned that Italy was in what everyone was calling lockdown. I had a full day planned, and I went through with those plans, and I also wrote a blog, but I kept my eye on all things Italian as emails and tweets and Facebook messages and news reports began deluging my inboxes. Upon rising on Thursday the 12th, I did something I never do first thing in the morning. I looked at my cell phone, and I saw messages, including from each of the 3 people who formed what I just called that confluence of friends. For days, I had been messaging Kathy, one of the 3, a very good friend in Chicago, and a newly retired United employee. I'd been asking for updates on United flights. Would they or would they not be flying to and from Italy, etc.? I especially wrote her because she had a good friend in the Newark airport, Gloria. And Gloria's sister Mary was a good Facebook friend of mine as well. Kathy had contacted Gloria and given her my flight reservation number. Gloria discovered that the last United flight to Italy from Newark was March 12th. My original return reservation was the 15th, but Gloria had the wonderful good sense to put me on the Thursday flight. Kathy's message, and one from Mary, was basically that Gloria awaited my confirmation. I phoned Gloria so fast to say yes, book me, that the lines had to be burning. Before you knew it, I was packing, ran one last errand, contacted my New York friends, and then went to the Holy See Mission for lunch. A driver took me to Newark Airport, where I finally met Gloria. I received VIP treatment, checked in, and decided to upgrade to Polaris business class with frequent flyer miles and a few dollars. I enjoyed the Polaris lounge and then a wonderful flight back to Rome, where one of the attendants, Giselle, had also been on my Tuesday flight to Newark. You knew things were different in the world when the captain, Jeff, came out and had a lovely conversation with each of us, 8 people, in Polaris. Total passengers, including economy, 40. I saw the captain and crew as we waited for our luggage in Rome. Smiling faces, smiles that were genuine, but also had to be forced a bit. By the way, when we arrived, our temperatures were measured in Rome. After all, though we hope the situation is only temporary, all of us had just been on the last flight out. And that, the last flight out, was the title of my first column upon my return to Rome on Friday the 13th. The extraordinary, and many say extreme, anti-coronavirus measures here had turned Rome, major cities and small towns, all of Italy in fact, into ghost towns. It was eerie beyond telling to see every store, restaurant, cafe, and coffee bar shuttered up. It was eerie for me Friday morning, and the mornings since then, to stand at my living room window for several minutes, looking out on one of the busiest streets in Rome, three blocks from St. Peter's Square, and to see not one living human being in that time. As I write in my office in the back of the apartment, the silence is unbelievable, surreal. And that's what strikes me most every day, the silence. The absence of car horns and the noise of motorbikes, the near absence, and this is both phenomenal and wonderful at the same time, of ambulance and police car sirens, the strange void of daily chatter of the people who shop and eat and work in the neighborhood, or who are just passing by on their way to the Vatican. I can always hear voices, though muted, whether I'm in my living room that overlooks Via di Porta Cavalieri, or in my office at the back of the house that overlooks a small street that is basically for parking, not through traffic. If you do see someone on the street these days, they better have a good reason to be out, according to the Interior Ministry. In fact, I just downloaded a form from the ministry that we must carry with us at all times if we move from our residence. I was alerted to this by a very talkative taxi driver, wearing a mask and using gloves, who accompanied me home from the airport. He was filled with information, and I was so appreciative. If I want to go to the grocery store or the pharmacy, I may do so, but one, it must be in my neighborhood. I can't go to the center of Rome. And two, I must have this form filled out with my name, where I was born, where I live, complete street address, and where I'm going. I must also carry personal ID. You're basically not allowed to deviate, and that is, if you say you're going from your home to the grocery store, that's it. No additions. No frivolous visits to Rome parks, for example. On this ministerial form, I must say that my trip, in case you go somewhere by car or bus or even train, or my movement within the neighborhood, are determined by one of the four reasons the form gives. 1, a proven work-related need. 2, a situation of necessity, food, medicine, and, I believe and hope, the bank. 3, health reasons, a doctor's visit. Or 4, you're returning to your own home or habitation. If, for example, you were in Rome when the government issued its decree and you had to return home to Florence. As of now, the businesses that may open include markets, though not outdoor markets, pharmacies, mini-markets, newsstands, banks and ATMs, where you want to clean the surface and wear gloves, and tobacco stores. Tobacco stores are the only places you can buy cigarettes in Italy, but they actually service a lot of needs. In addition to selling cigarettes, lottery tickets, candy and gum, souvenirs, and a host of small items, you can buy bus tickets, have your monthly bus pass updated, purchase phone cards, or add money to your phone if you have a pay-as-you-go phone, as I do. Thank the Lord the tobacco store adjacent to the entrance to our building was open, as I had to refill my cell phone by March 14 or it would have turned off. I had tried to do the automatic refill online, but the phone company's site was down, and this just hours after I got home. My phone refills occur the 14th of every month. The tobacco shop owner, Vittorio, allowed only one person in at a time because we have to keep the government-mandated distance of 3 feet or 1 meter between people. Vittorio was wearing a mask and gloves, both pretty much top the fashion world list right now. I'm happy to have the phone, but not at all happy that my satellite is out. Friday was a very quiet day as I unpacked and worked on Vatican Insider last week, and I did write a blog. I so wanted to turn the TV on and have news, but limited myself to searching online. My only time out so far was last Saturday morning, March 14th, and Wednesday the 18th. Saturday I refilled my phone and then went 50 feet to a mini-market for some purchases. The fellow there had gloves but no mask. Wednesday I went out to empty trash and got a few things again at the mini-market. I may need groceries over the weekend. Our doorman Carlo, through his mask, told me that markets allow people in one at a time and clients must always keep a meter distance from the person in front of them. Waiting in line also requires the 1 meter distance between people. A maximum of 2 people per family may shop at any one time. Wednesday, the government decreed slightly shorter hours for grocery stores. When I go, I will wear gloves and have a mask in my purse. I did ask Carlo about the satellite because this is centralized in our building. He said it was indeed down and the Vatican had sent someone to fix it. But here it is days later and I still have no satellite. However, I did discover I could change the source on my TV remote from satellite to TV, and thus I have access to Italian television and Italy's equivalent of Fox News, CNN, etc. I also discovered, to my great surprise, I could watch one of my favorite channels, HGTV, even though it's in Italian, but it has been fun. How am I doing? How is quarantine affecting me? Is there growth, change, introspection? Are there challenges and new perspectives in quarantine? What I have learned is that life is what you make it. I'm a people person, as anyone who's ever met me knows. I live alone and have for many years, and that has helped a bit in the current situation. But my life each day is filled with people and activity. There's always work, interviewing people, taping TV shows, and seeing my EWTN and journalist colleagues at the Vatican Press Office. As you could well imagine, I attend luncheons and dine ever so frequently with local friends and out-of-town visitors. There are all kinds of receptions and press conferences and symposiums and international events. Life is filled with people. In the past, at times, I yearned for a quiet evening at home. And now I have those evenings and mornings and afternoons. But as the saying goes, when life gives you a lemon, you make limoncello. I love my home, and I cherish every minute of this beautiful place, even if imposed. I have 1,000 things I can do and write and clean and organize. My dining table is always set for 4 people, and I change the settings often. Right now, it is beautifully set for 6 people because my last dinner party was 6, and I can't wait to start planning a menu and go shopping again for a new party. I have an enviable library of fiction and nonfiction, and books written and signed by friends, travel books, and a plethora of volumes about popes and the Vatican and the Church and saints. Right now, I surely can't say I have no time for reading. The frosting on the cake is that I look at St. Peter's Dome from my living room and dining room. As you may have sensed, I'm an optimist, a Pollyanna, if you will, an innately happy person. I can make of life what the cards have dealt me. And I can even make limoncello. In fact, I just might have to include lemons when I finally go to the grocery store. I'm dealing with things, and I have to say, as I said earlier, that I am most affected by the silence of city life now. After all, a city with the noise of traffic and horns and sirens, and even people who shout at each other, is a city alive. To defeat that all-enveloping silence, I also have music, and that is both uplifting and consoling. And we often have music here at 6 p.m., when people gather at the windows of their homes or on their balconies, terraces, and even the rooftops of their building, to sing, to shout out greetings, to play an instrument, or dance a bit to music from their cell phone. It's almost become a nightly ritual. Italians are very gregarious, generous, fun-loving people. Family-loving people who cherish any moment to be together, so they've tried to make the best of the life-altering situation created by the coronavirus. And if anything has been contagious, their love for life and their songfests have been. I think every living soul has discovered in the current crisis what they probably knew before but never verbalized. We are all people persons. We need each other. We need families. We need all generations, the newborn and the grandparents. We need to know that people care, that, put together, we are community. Perhaps, as never before, we need to feel and see that solidarity, that sense of community, even a strong sense of faith. Our faith and practice has been put to the test, but boy, has it come alive in these days as people seek to find a church open for personal prayer, an online mass. And thank God there are many of these. People also sometimes seek an online rosary recited by a priest or bishop or even a family member. We cannot have the Eucharist or go to confession, and I find that devastating. But if all of our prayers and novenas and rosaries make even a small dent in the Lord's heart, we will soon be back together with our faith communities. 2 important moments in my days here, and I probably should have really started with this, are when I go online for daily mass with Father Greg Aparcel, rector of the American Faith Community of St. Patrick's, And when I participate in the Noon Angelus, Rosary, and Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary, recited by Cardinal Angelo Comastri, Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica, and he's joined by several other faithful at the altar of the chair in St. Peter's. What do we have if not faith? Faith in God above all, faith in mankind, faith that science will come up with a vaccine or cure for this devastating virus, faith that families who were not close will come together, faith that close families will inspire others, faith that communities will come out of this crisis stronger than ever, with an ever greater sense of moral courage, solidarity, caring, and sharing. Thursday, March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, I joined huge numbers of Italians and people around the world who, with Italian bishops and Pope Francis, prayed the rosary for an end to the coronavirus. And we lit candles and placed them in our windows. Pope Francis had a video message for all, and at the end, he recited a very beautiful prayer he wrote to St. Joseph. That Thursday event was made available through social media, the Vatican website, EWTN, and others, as was the Sunday Angelus and the Wednesday General Audience. And this is how things will be for a while yet. At the end of the General Audience, in fact, Francis announced the Rosary Initiative of the Italian bishops and noted we will pray the luminous mysteries. He said Wednesday, "We are led to the luminous and transfigured face of Jesus Christ and his heart by Mary, the Mother of God, health of the sick, to whom we turn with the prayer of the Rosary under the loving gaze of St. Joseph, guardian of the Holy Family and of our families. And we ask him to take special care of our families, especially the sick and the people who are taking care of them, doctors, nurses, and volunteers, those who risk their lives in this service. P.S. The March 19th feast day of St. Joseph is Father's Day in Italy. With the coronavirus and quarantine, you take one day at a time. Thank the Lord for internet, for Wi-Fi, for social media. I've been very moved and deeply grateful this first week of quarantine for so many messages from around the world, from family, close friends, friends maybe I've not seen in a while, friends and fans from different continents. I'm sure this is true for anyone of any age in Italy, the need for and use of social media. Messages bring sunshine, they bring memories and hope and love and caring into lives. Just hearing another voice, interacting with another person is special in these days. I'm sure you are all learning that as well. I'm reading about closures and lockdowns in the U.S., and I see things are developing quickly, and there's already a lot of that around the world. Paradoxically, it seems that keeping safe distances is actually bringing people together. Families now watch movies together, play games, read books to their children, invent stories or games, and actually sit around a dinner table and eat together. I realize the immense difficulties undergone by families with small children, perhaps 3 or 4 youngsters, like my colleague Alan, who has 4. Children are out of school for heaven only knows how long, and they're not even supposed to go with mom and dad for a walk around the block. This is not seen as a necessity by the police, and they can't even go to a local park to play. Now, just a few thoughts I've had since the lockdown began, and some brief news stories about what's happening in Italy. From day one of lockdown, I've wondered what happens if someone has an emergency plumbing or electrical problem, or, heaven forbid, Wi-Fi goes out. I mean, a serious problem. Are plumbers, etc., working? Can they come to your house? Surely we'd still have to stay 3 or more feet apart, and I presume everyone would have masks and gloves, including the homeowner. I'm guessing crime has gone down, but so far have not seen any articles about that. I do know that smog and pollution are way down, especially in China, as I've seen some aerial photos of areas known for industry and factories where air is a lot cleaner with the factories not working. Interestingly enough, I've also seen photos from Venice, where the boat traffic is almost at a standstill, and the empty canals have water so clean you can see fish swimming around. When we say bar in Italy, we are referring to coffee bars. So bars and restaurants are closed, and another category of food has disappeared, the street vendors, the kind usually found at or near major monuments. Supermarkets are open, as you know, and they have strict rules for entering, shopping, and keeping the social distance. Many announced they would home deliver, but they were so overwhelmed with requests, some are now posting notices that you have to be in a special category, such as those who are over 65 and living alone, to qualify for delivery. Seems fair to me. A new hospital catering to ICU units will go up fast and as soon as possible in Milan. The local fairgrounds have offered a sizable portion of land to the region for this purpose. I've read, and this is so astonishing, that 10,000 doctors under the age of 30, including recent grads, have been and will be called into service. By the way, pray hard, very hard, for all the medical personnel. I've seen images on TV that would make you weep. I saw faces of doctors and nurses I thought had been in a fight, eyes red and puffy, and faces almost lacerated by the constant wearing of very special face masks for hours and hours, sometimes even 24 hours at a time. TV stations here, at least Italian TV, as I don't yet have my satellite up, have constant public service announcements about washing your hands, keeping safe distances, staying at home unless there's urgency, etc. It could be me, but I've seen a plethora of ads for cleaning products, especially antibacterial products, anything that will clean the surfaces of your home. Each of us is living this experience in our own way. Singles, couples, families, larger communities such as religious houses, etc. The real fun will come when eventually life gets back to a kind of normalcy and we can sit around the dinner table at home or in a restaurant and share our stories of coping. What have we learned? What was the hardest part? What was new and perhaps wonderful? What did each of us discover about ourselves? I sense a lot of good interviews from my radio show, Vatican Insider. Thanks so much for sharing your time with me now. You can learn more by visiting my blog daily for updates, jonesrome.wordpress.com. God bless you. God bless me. God bless all of us. And may God sit on your shoulder today.
For more information on these stories or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.